time, we were looking at the cross. We were looking at the death of Christ. And I was asked this week after the service, actually earlier in the week, I was asked, why are we looking at the death of Christ when we're looking at the manger? Like, why the birth and death thing all in one thing? And so I said, well, I says, we have to look at the birth of Christ. That's what we do at this time of year. We look at the birth of Christ, and we spend an awful lot of emphasis looking at the child and the manger scene because it makes us cozy and warm. It gives us these fuzzy feelings inside. And this is very good. It's good news to focus on this. It's good news and it's a good thing to focus on the manger. But we lose some of it. We lose some of it as the life of Christ moves on. And so by the time Easter comes, and it could be a seasonal thing for us in North America as well, because now it's Christmassy, or it's Christmassy, it's winter time, and we like to be warm and cozy, and we like to snuggle in with the child in the manger, even if it's not the Ritz. But by the time Easter comes, it's April. And when Easter comes, we're looking at things a little differently. And maybe it's a seasonal thing for us that we just want to be done with it. You know, by the time Easter comes, we've gone through 6 weeks of Lent, 6 weeks of looking and preparing for the death of Christ. And maybe that's it. Maybe that has partly to do with it here. Maybe we're just done with it. Maybe we got spring on our minds. You know, when Karen was in Home Depot, when she was working in Home Depot as I was coming up through school, she had to have, her department had to have everything ready in the seasonal section. You know, the garden section, the garden center in Home Depot? She had to have everything ready to go by Good Friday. Everything had to be ready to go. So that means plants needed to be in. That means all the seed and all the soils and all the everything that somebody could buy at Home Depot had to be in and ready to go by Good Friday, because Home Depot opened on Good Friday, the seasonal section only. Not the store, because that goes against the holiday laws or something like that. Not the store, but the seasonal section, that garden center, it could open. And boy, Home Depot wanted to cash in on the sales on Good Friday, a holiday. You see, we have this idea in our minds that we celebrate the birth of Christ. We spend a lot of time and focus on it, and we sort of let the rest of it go a little bit. Like when was the last time you went to an Ascension Day service? I don't recall ever going to an Ascension Day service. And so, these major aspects, these major points of Christ's life and death and resurrection are something that we need to focus on a little bit more. And that's what we're doing this time. That's what we're doing this year. So, 2 weeks ago, we looked at the life of Christ. Last week, we looked at the death of Christ. Today we're looking at the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection. And that's what Alice's story, that's what Jeff read about. The resurrection of Jesus. Now, we have the two women. Luke 24 does all of this. It just goes right into three stories, basically. Three stories that circle around the resurrection of Christ. First one is about the women at the tomb. Two women, they come up to the tomb. They're there early in the morning on that one day. This whole chapter is about one day. They're there early in the morning. They're there, they've got the spices, as Alice depicted. They're ready to go. They're ready to prepare the body for proper burial. Except when they get there, there's no body to be found. Jesus is alive.
But they don't know that yet, of course. Instead, they're greeted by two angels. And the two angels, they stand there. And the two angels say, why are you looking for the living among the dead? You don't see anybody else standing in the tomb here, crouching down in the tomb. Why are you looking here? He is not here. He is alive. He has risen, just like he said he would. Remember the words that he said. I must die. I must rise again after 3 days. He has done exactly what he said he would. Jesus did exactly what he said he would. The next story, which Jeff skipped, is the road to Emmaus. The two travelers on the road to Emmaus, two of the disciples, Jesus comes walking up beside them. And they start talking. And Jesus starts talking to them about the recent events of the days. And the guys say, where have you been? Under a rock? And the guy, Jesus says, tell me. Well, they don't know it's Jesus. He's incognito. And Jesus says, tell me. And so they keep on walking up the road. And then Jesus starts telling them all about the scriptures and everything that lined up with the scriptures, that everything needed to be fulfilled for that event to happen, for Christ to die. And then they were flabbergasted by this. And they sat down for a meal together. And then when Jesus broke the bread, they saw that it was him. And then he disappeared. And so those two guys, they jump on the road again. And they hightail it back to Jerusalem to meet with the other disciples. And so they meet up with the other disciples, which is the third story, which Jeff came into again in verse 36 here. And they meet up with the other two disciples. And they go, he's alive. Jesus is alive, just like the two women went before. Jesus is alive. And so these guys are talking about this because they sort of sloughed off the women. They sort of went, women, you know, like you just keep on gabbing all the time. Like, leave me alone, right? I heard that. And so these two other guys, they come walking into the room. And all of a sudden, there's more collaboration of the story. And when there's more collaboration of the story, then these guys start talking. The disciples go, is there really something to this? And all of a sudden, Jesus is there. Now, the text says that they did not believe at that point. And I don't really blame them. Because if you think of somebody that's passed away, is now standing beside you, not a ghost, really, really flesh and bones standing beside you. You know, I think of my parents, they both have passed on. Think of an old friend, my friend Mike. When we were 25, he died of a brain tumor. Or my cousin Jack, he died at the age of 42. You know, you see these guys beside me? See these people beside me or standing in front? Any one of them. Like, listen, I carried your casket to the gravesite. I saw the deceased body in the casket. We closed the casket. I saw it descend into the grave. You're dead. And now you're alive? Sorry, I wouldn't believe it either. And come to think of it, I really don't know what it would look like for Jesus to be alive without being a ghost or ghostish. Yes, we believe it's flesh and blood or flesh and bones. But don't forget, if we go further on in the text, we still see the puncture wounds in his arms, in his feet, and in his side. And even Thomas, remember the story of Thomas in John 20, where Thomas is doubting. He says, unless I put my finger in the nail holes, I'm not going to believe it. And then Jesus shows up a week later, and then it happens. And Jesus says, hey, Thomas, start inserting. You see, I don't know what it would look like for someone to stand there with puncture wounds, to not bleed. I don't know. They did puncture his lung when they stabbed him in the side. So we don't know what that looks like, folks. But we do know that Jesus is alive. We do know that Jesus is alive. In fact, he's alive today. He's alive today, 2,000 years afterwards. I can't say that I know too many 2,000-year-old people still walking around. You see, if there's one person on the planet that could ever do this, it was Jesus, because Jesus is the Son of God. Now, when we look at the manger with joy, because we see the child in the manger, who doesn't love a baby? I know several guys who go, well, babies do certain things and I don't want them to be anywhere near me. In fact, my son says, I think I will break it when he holds a baby, because he's seen how big the guy is. But women, they love to hold on to the child. And it is a joy to hold on to a newborn and to see the in very miniature form, the life just in your arms, so dependent upon you. It makes you sort of complete, doesn't it? It sort of fills your heart with joy. With joy. It adds a sense of wholeness. It's more than happiness. It's more than excitement. It's contentment. It's peace, in a sense. Shalom, maybe a bit. All in a child. Joy. Just think of how much more joy comes with knowing that you have eternal life, because Jesus paved the way through it for it with his resurrection. Because Jesus died and came back to life, because that fact happened, Jesus made it so that we can have eternal life as well. That we have this awesome gift. Talk about gifts at Christmas time. This awesome gift of eternal life that we can also live to be like him. Now, this is going to pass away at some time. Hopefully not too soon, but sometime. This is going to pass away. This will fail. And all of us, I'm afraid, are in the same boat. It will fail. Our bodies will give out. But we will keep on living eternally. First, with our souls in heaven. And then afterwards, after Christ returns, with a new body, in the new earth. Now, again, we don't know what that's going to look like. It's a mystery, folks. I'm pretty good with mystery. I'm good with allowing it to be a mystery, because we don't know that yet. It's coming. And so if Jesus said that he was going to send to the women, or the angel said to the women that Jesus said, remember the words that Jesus said, that he was going to die and rise again after 3 days. And then Jesus himself said to the disciples after he got back, he said, don't forget what I said is that all these things must be fulfilled. Like All of this must be fulfilled. All of this happened so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, which is all the Old Testament, by the way, because the New Testament wasn't quite written yet, because they were living it at the time. And all of this must be fulfilled. And in there, it says that after 3 days, Jesus promised that after 3 days that he would rise again. And if he said these things and he promised it, then we know that God keeps his promises. And if God keeps his promises, then we got to look at what else did Jesus say? What else did Jesus promise? Jesus promised that he would give us a helper. That he would send a helper to us. Being the Holy Spirit, of course. And the Holy Spirit is God himself living within those who believe. It's that still small voice that speaks to you. The Holy Spirit speaks to you and talks to you and says, you know what? I think you should give that person a call. I think you should maybe send that person a card to show them my love. Maybe you should stop doing what you're doing because you're destroying yourself, you're destroying your family. Maybe you should just wait here for a second because there's something that's going to happen that's going to be devastating and you don't want to be involved. I need you for something else. Or maybe you hang in there because I know you're going through a tough time. And you just need to hang in there. I'm with you. I'll comfort you. You see, the Holy Spirit is with us and working in us and continuing to work through us. So Jesus said that he would send a helper. He also said he would come back. And I mentioned this earlier, that he would come back someday. We'll get into more of that next week. But Jesus also said that he would come back someday. And so if Jesus is in the habit, if God is in the habit of keeping his promises, especially through all of the scriptures as it has been written, been fulfilled through Christ's coming, then why would we not believe what is written about it, Christ's coming yet, or what's in our future? If all of the past is written about and it's come to be, and that in the Old Testament, the scriptures that Jesus was talking about is about 1,100 years worth of living, of text, between Moses and Jesus. It's about 1,100 years. Okay? And so if there's about 1,100 years of there, and all of that speaking about Jesus, and there we have text after Jesus that of about 100 years that starts speaking about what Jesus did, how he lived, how he showed us to live, and what's coming in the future, then I think we should be paying attention to that. But we don't have to pay attention to that with fear and trepidation. We pay attention to that with joy in our hearts. Because it is with joy that we receive Christ in the manger. It's with joy and tears in our eyes that we look at Christ on the cross as he passed away to die for our sins. And it's with joy that we look to him in amazement and wonder, just as the disciples did when they saw him alive, because now we know that we can live with him. This is an amazing thought, an amazing life that we have living for Christ. It's not always easy. We run into trouble, folks. But always, always depend on the promises that God has given us. Amen. Let's come to God. Lord God, we thank you once again for the revelation that you give to us of that you've come into the earth in the form of a baby, that you've grown up, that you've died, and that you've lived beyond death. We thank you for that realization, God, that once again, we can find that joy in our hearts, that we can, that peace, that happiness, that excitement, that understanding of knowing, and even the scariness, Lord, of knowing beyond a doubt that you are with us. Help us to trust you, to trust in your promises. Help us to live this life for you. In Christ, amen.